All right, because I can always edit out the front part of it. Oh, Charles, see you're here. Got about 2 minutes. 2 minutes before we start. The Sunday morning broadcast will be on free conference call as well.
All right.
I can't get the other station to work here lately.
Really?
No. That's, well, I went to that station because free conference call wouldn't work for me for months and months. I couldn't log in. And then all of a sudden it started working again. But by then I'd already went to that listentomyradio.com and started another radio station. So
yeah.
That's how that got to be. So now we're
just
going
back to the
way it used to be.
Yeah. Sounds like demons are pestering you.
Yeah, it could be. All right, we're going to start here in a few minutes. And again, I'll remind everybody, I unmute everybody as they come in, so if you're going to make noise or talk or do dishes or whatever, just mute your phone or your computer while you're doing that. That way, if you do want to say something, I don't have to be involved. You can just unmute yourself.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Ella. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just got through mowing my lawn.
Oh, boy. All right. Let me get started. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design social chat for Wednesday, the 22nd day, I believe it is, 22nd day of March, 2023. And we've already got some folks logging in here tonight. Real quick, I want to make a couple quick announcements. Starting this coming Sunday, the broadcast will be right here on Free Conference Call instead of the other, which is Listen to My Radio. I've had trouble with that lately, and so I'm not going to use that anymore. We're going to go back to the Free Conference Call for both Wednesday and for Sunday. That, of course, means that calls can be taken and things just like before. The other thing is wanted everybody to know, too, that this banking thing that's going on, we've warned about this for a long, long time. I don't know that we're being told the truth about it as far as anybody's concerned, but I would definitely take the advice of a lot of people, and that is make sure you've got at least 1, maybe 2 months worth of cash on hand at home. That way, if the banks do have trouble or whatever, you're not completely destitute. Some people have been given a notice that, you know, their money's, they either can't get their money for a period of time or the money's gone. We went through something very similar to this back in the 1980s in Ohio when I worked at the Perry Nuclear Plant. The savings and loans went bust in Ohio. And I was very familiar with that because one of the men that worked for me, his account was in a local savings and loan, and he had a daughter with a very serious handicap. And he ran a business. He was a landlord. He had a like an apartment building. And he could not get funds out of his savings and loan account to pay for her special medicines and treatment and to pay bills for his apartments because of that situation. So just a word to the wise, you want to be very careful about that. And again, if you're not talking or there's background noises, whatnot, please mute your phone. You take care of that, muting yourself if you can. If you can't, let me know and I'll take care of it. But yeah, the biggest thing is, like I said, Sundays we'll be back to free conference call. And if you're ever in doubt about which format the calls are going to be on, go to PastorDan.net and just check out the Listen Live page there. That's where all the times of the programs and how to log on and all will be there. Okay, that's pretty much all the announcements I got as of right now. So the floor is open if anybody has any comments, questions, news reports, whatever. Oh, I see Ralph's here with us. I don't think he has a mic, though. So does anybody have anything? Ella, you got your hand up. All right. The raise hand thing works. Okay.
I just wanted to say that I was going through the neighborhood watch thing that I get on my computer for around the Joshua, Texas area here. And there was somebody said that that there is a motion going forward that the, what do you call them? The electric companies, the ones that have the prices going up like crazy, are asking for bailouts just like the banks are. So there's something coming along now that our electric rates may be going down again. But if this happens too, then who else isn't going to ask for bailouts for everything? Something crazy is going on. That's all I had to say. If anyone knows anything else about this, let us know.
Oh, yeah, good point. Go ahead and take your hand down if you would. That way I'll know if I see it again, it's a new question. The now, you said rates go down. Usually the power company never takes the rates down. The rates usually go up. But I have not noticed anything like that here locally. I still have a lot of friends that work in the power industry. None of them have said anything to me about it. I've been out of the business now for, it's been 7 years, almost 8 years. So, but everything is in upheaval. You know, again, it gets back to the Bible when it said that there would be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth at the end of the age, just before the coming of the Son of Man. That's where we're at. Okay. When it's, in the Greek language, the words used for that description is just total upheaval. It's not just earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis. That's what all of the book writers and all that, they focused on all that. But the Greek words actually mean just upheaval of whatever you're used to, whatever your normal world is like. Everything is in chaos and upside down. So that would be politics, family, relationships, everything in your world is in topsy-turvy. So welcome to the tribulation, welcome to the revelation period of time where everything is in upheaval. I yield. Anybody else have anything? Yeah, Ralph says here, better cut a lot of wood this summer for next year. Well, I know one thing. I went out and my neighbor and I, we got new plants. So I put in some mint and a new lavender plant, a new sweet mint, and a colander, which is very like cilantro, but cilantro plants to grow. And the other things that we've planted are doing very, very well. Russet potatoes and tomatoes and thyme and trying to think of the other things, cilantro and some different lettuces and things like that. All of them are growing very, very well. So a lot of the platforms are recommending that start learning how to be as self-sufficient as you can. I know a lot of people live in the city or whatever, but you'd be surprised at how much you can grow in a very small space, especially if you do what's called vertical growing with the towers and all. I think Jeremiah has looked into that as well as a few other people. But you can get these towers. You can make them yourself, or you can get the pre-made ones from like Professor McCanny and whatever. And you literally on a patio, on an apartment building on a patio, you could grow enough food for a family of three or four just on a patio by going vertical growing and getting high yield type plants, etc. So don't need a great big acre garden like the old days. There's ways of growing a lot of food indoors. Jeremiah also does that too. So by the way, Jeremiah, do you want to tell them about your flag that's hanging there behind you?
I could. So flag here. I want to say I had help designing it probably 3 years ago. Actually, it probably was a little longer than 3 years ago. I like to say I designed it under divine inspiration because at the time I was trying to figure out a symbol or a flag to designate the regathering of our people under like a new symbol. And in the beginning, I had probably 5 different types of flags, but I was going based on other flags. Like I was looking up the flag for Wales, I was looking up the flag for Sweden, and just different type of flag designs. And I stuck with red, black, and white because that's, you know, selfishly, those are the colors of my family's arms. So I just stuck with red, black, and white and kept trying to figure out why are none of these flags looking good. I mean, they look good, but they're missing. So I actually assessed that because I realized, well, all I'm doing is trying to find my family's colors, which is selfish. So I basically got on my knees and I asked Yahweh. I said, Yahweh, this really is supposed to be a flag for your people, not my family. So I want your help in designing a new flag. I also got out the Bible and I was reading about the tabernacle and trying to find other information. But I would say it was only maybe a minute after I asked for Yahweh's help that it just dawned on me. Well, there's 12 tribes. Is there such a thing as a 12-pointed star? So, of course, I looked up 12-pointed star, and sure enough, it's known as a dodecagon. And so all I did is I looked up the original colors for each of the 12 tribes, and those are the colors within the coast. Judah, and then go around, and then in the middle, the one that you might call the Judah symbol for friendship. And the background is purple or dark purple to resemble our ancestors and our ancient royalty, since purple was always a color of royalty. And the border, though it didn't come out that well, the border is actually gold to symbolize the wealth that Yahweh has promised us in the future. And this became what I consider as a new symbol to represent the regathering of all the 12 tribes.
Very good. Yep, very good. The color black and red and sometimes with white is also not only in our family crest, but it's also the colors of the tribe of Levi. So the Levites had that color combination, right? So very good. Yeah, very good. I like the idea behind it. It's something to represent the regathering because that's what's starting to happen across the world. As everybody's reaching out, especially with these troubling times, our people are starting to put away some of their petty gripes and grievances against each other and starting to realize that we're in pretty deep crap. A lot of people outright calling for the elimination of the white race now. They're not trying to hide it anymore, which many of us and some of our predecessors like Bertrand Comparé and others and Pastor Pete Peters and other folks that I had met in some of the seminars that we went to and all, we all talked about the fact that the day would come when they would not hide their true feelings about us. They were pretending to be our friends until they got enough political power and enough numbers amongst us, then they would let everybody know what they really thought about us. Even the Jews now are not even trying to hide their true feelings. They're trying to pass a law, and it's a lie. If you preach Christianity or talk about the Bible or whatnot, they can actually put you in prison. I forget how long, maybe indefinitely. But so they're very serious about the fact they don't want us even in that land. They don't want to even pretend any longer. So, yeah. Okay, I yield. Floor is open. Oh, yeah, Ella's got here. The World Economic Forum is saying that white people should be held to a one-child-only policy. Oh. So, again, they're not trying to hide the fact that they don't want us around and they want to eliminate us. We're the only competition, if you think about it. Our race, especially our men, who are the best soldiers and warriors on earth. We not only know how to use weaponry, but we know how to use our brains when we come up against difficulties when dealing with enemies. They don't like that. They want to dumb down the population, get rid of the higher IQ peoples, and get their numbers down to a bare minimum, or just eradicate them altogether. Because somebody's got their mic and speaker on at the same time. Go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up. Go ahead. You're muted.
One thing I would add is when you were talking about war and our people and that we're great fighters, is that's really the only reason weapons have evolved to such dangerous ways of mass destruction, is because we had to come up with more inventive ways to kill each other because we were so good at war. If we were only fighting blacks and Asiatics, we would be fine with a crossbone. We'd still win. But it was because we're fighting each other that we would have to get more more war tactics and better weapons, because our people fought each other for who knows how many years. And we were hard to even defeat ourselves, so we had to advance our weapons until we got to the basically height of technology that we have today.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. If we would learn to stop killing each other at the behest of our enemies, we could turn all that, all our resources on them, and it would not be that hard to get rid of them. That's why they're working overtime right now to mentally castrate the white man and white woman and to keep us completely in fear and confused. They're pulling out all their stops, which means, of course, they're acting dumber than ever and saying things that are more outrageous than ever, because it's panic time for them. They have to win this, because if they don't and we wake up, their game is over. They know that. They cannot defeat us. They have to get us to defeat ourselves. And so far, we've gone along with that. Like you said, you know, look at World War II, World War I. We were killing our own people. And we've been doing it in many other wars. You could even say that in early America, when the whites were killing off the Indians, a lot of those Indian tribes were the residue of Israelites. So even there, they were killing our people. Now, not all of the tribes here were Caucasian, obviously. Not all of them stayed pure, but look at our countries today. They're not pure anymore either. But the original, like Huron and Iroquois and Seminoles and things like that, they were Israelites. They had European-style villages, Gaelic languages. Their rules and regulations were straight out of the old. So, I mean, we have been destroying each other and following the lead of these monsters called Israeli Jews for thousands of years. We've allowed them to convince us to go to war and kill each other. We got to stop doing that. If we can just stop doing that, if we get our people just stop that one thing, everything would turn around pretty damn quick. Oh yeah, the Cherokee. Yeah. Well, that's why they were. There was a band of tribes back in the old days called the Civilized Tribes. Cherokee was one of them. Iroquois nations. Iroquois represented other tribes besides just the Iroquois, but all of those were called the Civilized Tribes because they were the remnants of our people. They just wore buckskin instead of wool or whatever the Europeans were wearing. That's all. They just adopted to the terrain here and learned how to make their clothes out of whatever was available over here. And being isolated from Europe, where the Jews were hard at work destroying the white culture of Europe, they were isolated over here, so they were much closer to Yahweh here than our European ancestors. So they respected the animal world. They respected the plant world. They didn't get involved in trying to say, well, I own the land and you can't do this and all. Their idea was Yahweh owns the land. You don't own the land. You're only just a tenant. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, they make it like these guys were a separate people. No, they weren't. They were our people, but they were separated from the pollution and the adulteration that the Europeans were suffering under these kikes. Go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up.
Yeah, one thing I would add is you also have the Blackfoot tribe. And what was interesting about the Blackfoot is they lived in what were known as longhouses. And on many accounts, it said that their longhouses, which were made out of like log cabins, their cities or villages were set up identical to villages in Europe. Yet, you know, historians are like, wow, how is this possible? It doesn't make any sense. Whereas to us, it makes perfect sense because they were distant relatives of the Europeans. So why wouldn't they build their cities very similar to the ancestors in Europe?
Yeah, very good. And you're right. In the Ohio River Valley, the Mandan Indians were prevalent all along the Ohio River. And the same thing could be said of them. Their villages were identical to European villages. The Indian languages were Gaelic. Some of them were so close to the European version of it, there was no interpreter needed at all. There's cases along the Tennessee River where pilgrims were taken captive by the Indians, and they could talk to each other without any problem whatsoever. So, you know, a lot of the questions I even had when I was in school, it's like, how did these people who were completely different sail over here and they got along so well? How did they learn each other's languages? There was no interpreters to begin with. So I had a lot of those kind of questions. Why did it happen that way? And how is it that, like, Pocahontas, Commander Smith or Captain Smith took Pocahontas back and she fit in with European and society in London quite well? Okay, well, because again, they were primarily our people. So, and it came out in a documentary I started watching called Out of the Shadows. I sent that around to my email list. If you get a chance to watch that, it's people in Hollywood who have basically had a come to Jesus moment. And they're telling the truth about how we are manipulated by the images created by the news media and by Hollywood. It goes right along with what we've been saying for so long. Virtually everything we have been told since we were children is a fabrication, a lie. So we basically have to wipe the slate clean and start over again. So, again, if you don't have a lot of truth, you're better off having a little truth than a whole bunch of lies. So if you don't have a whole lot of answers to all these tons of questions everybody has. Hang on to the things you do know. We do know that Yahweh, Creator, Father, exists. We know that the man Yahshua was here, Yahweh in a flesh body for a purpose. What his life was and what happened to him and all, that's up for debate, because after all, it was the Catholic Church and the liars that gave us most of the writings in Scripture. So you're going to have to test the Scriptures to what is the empirical evidence that you have around you today. Like Genesis 3:15, you can pretty much say that's got to be a correct translation because I'm seeing it in the world around me. There are two seeds of people on this earth. Whether you want to take it verbatim or as an allegory, it doesn't really matter because you've got the zombies and you've got real people. Okay, you know that the racial aspects that are talked about in the Bible are true because you can see it in our people today, and science backs it up. Common sense backs it up. And the fact that however long Adam kind has been on this earth, my ancestors obeyed that rule, or I wouldn't be here, okay? So those are things we can put over in the column of these are truths, because the Holy Spirit, one, testifies to it, and number two, the world around me testifies to that truth. So everything other than that is up for debate. Because, again, the history of the Bible is that it came from people that have been notorious liars and deceivers. They were infiltrated by the Jews almost from day one. Certainly since the Jesuits came on the scene, they were completely taken over by the Jews. All right, so we just got to put in our "we know these truths to be true" basket. And everything else is, we cannot allow it to become a division of the brotherhood, okay? Because even that proverb makes sense now. The seven things that our Father hates, the seventh one that he just absolutely detests is people who cause a division in our brotherhood, okay? Now, a lot of people don't put a whole lot of stock in that because they have no problem kicking somebody out of their fellowship circle because they don't follow the rules about the Sabbath the way they do. I've seen congregations divide over dress codes. Can you believe that? Dress codes, of all things? In this day and age, when we got an enemy that wants to eliminate us, we're going to argue about whether women should wear dresses or pants to a meeting. Okay? We got those that say, what calendar is the right calendar? We got those that say, well, you can't use Yahweh, you got to use Lord and God. Or the other group that says, no, if you use Lord and God, then you're an antichrist and it's got to be Yahweh. Well, wait a minute, it's not Yahweh, it's Yahuwah or Yahuwah. I mean, come on, you don't have a time machine. If you don't have a time machine to go back thousands of years and walk amongst our people and listen to them talk, besides that, I'll guarantee you that the Israelites that lived in the Misty Isles that became England, I'll bet you they pronounced it different than the ones over in what became Spain and France. Just like I grew up in central Pennsylvania, and I moved to South Jersey in high school, and we were all Americans, and yet we pronounced words differently. That was only a couple hundred miles apart. Same time, same country, same English, and yet when I spoke with the Pennsylvania Dutch accent, the Amish accent that I grew up with in Pennsylvania, when I went to the high school in New Jersey, there were kids in the classes that would tell the teacher, I don't understand what he's saying. Okay, that's a fact. And I'm thinking to myself, I spoke plain English. I mean, you should have been able to figure out what I was saying. Okay? Just like the Amish have a saying of, go red up a room. Okay? When I was a boy, my mom used to say it all the time, go red up the room. That meant go pick up your toys. Clean the room. Okay? Well, the kids in South Jersey didn't have a clue what that meant because I said something to the teacher. I said, do you want us to red up the room at the end of the class? And everybody looked at me like I was speaking German. All right. So my point is, we get into these arguments over things such as that. Okay, you're not pronouncing it right. When our own people don't pronounce it the same today, only a few hundred miles apart, and we don't pronounce things the same. Don't get hung up on pronunciations. Our Father is judging us by what's in our hearts. He's not judging us by whether we pronounce the words all exactly the same or we spell it all exactly the same. That's not the point. The point is, are you getting the basis of what he says? You're all related. You're all family. Are you going to work together? Are you striving to be like me in this sick world? When people look at you, do they say, you know that guy? He acts like the Bible. He acts like the people described in the Bible. When it describes Yeshua walking this earth and he had this and this kind of attribute, you know, he reminds me of that. Are you that kind of person, or are you the person that are going, I wouldn't read the Bible or believe anything about the Bible or Yahweh or anything else because he doesn't act any different than the zombies right down the street. You see what I'm saying? We seem to spend more energy to figure out reasons to hate each other and divide our camps than we do trying to get along with each other. And I'm going to tell you, that is not making our Creator Father very happy. It really isn't. Because a lot of things I hear people argue about, I got to be honest with you, they are not consequential. They're not going to change the outcome of history or the what's going to happen to our race in the near future. So if you want to argue about them and waste time with it, fine. But in the meantime, the enemy's gathering steam, and we're losing because we can't seem to get together. I yield. Anybody else got anything? Agree? Disagree?
No, I agree.
Okay, I see John from Miami's here. John, are you able to hear all right, buddy? Okay, I'm picking up some background there, John, so I'm going to go ahead and mute you. If you want me to unmute you, just raise your hand. But anyway, that's kind of the thing I've been noticing here lately. Now, the good news is that a lot of people are doing the same things that we've been working on. A lot of people are contacting me. They've got communities are starting to come together. People are buying smaller, more modest homes like tiny homes or travel trailers. They're getting land. They're buying animals. They're going to start raising their own goats and sheep and chickens and things like that. I've been looking into that. The cost of raising a sheep is not all that expensive. You can buy them fairly cheap, and you get meat from sheep. You can also drink sheep's milk, which I did not know. I grew up on a farm, and I didn't know that because we always drank either cow's milk or goat's milk. But sheep's milk is just as rich as goat's milk. The only problem with it is because it is higher than fat, some people have a little trouble digesting it or might be allergic to it. So you've got meat that can come from them. You've got milk that can come from them. And one of the best things of all about sheep is their wool. And we've talked about this. The wool can be turned into thread to make clothing, and it is the best clothing, the most durable clothing. And sheep's wool is the only clothing that will keep you warm even when it's soaking wet. Okay, that's going to be important. That's why the British commandos wear those woolen sweaters. Because if it's made from virgin wool, it's very soft, and somebody could pour a couple buckets of water over you and get that thing soaking wet, and you're still going to be warm on a very cold, wintry type night. That's why they used to wear woolen garments in the old castles and things like that. So, again, sheep are a very practical thing to have, and so are chickens. So that would be two animals that every homestead, I think personally, every homestead should have would be sheep and chickens to go along with all your vegetables and things like that. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
One thing I'll add, probably just dumber than a box of rocks right now, but I thought the downside of sheep wool was that it is incredibly itchy and uncomfortable to the skin.
I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, that is a myth. It's not a myth. That's the wrong thing to say. What it is people don't understand. The reason that modern-day wool is itchy because our friends, the guys with the little hats, took over the garment industry in the United States and Europe. And when they got wool, they processed all of the natural oil out of the wool. Okay, maybe they like scratchy stuff, and that's why they do it, because they are Satan's kids after all, okay? So maybe they get off on that scratchy feeling. Who knows? Why they do that, God only knows, because you don't need to do that. So when they processed the oil out, then wool went to this scratchy crap that we have today. And I would not, personally, I don't own anything made of that kind of wool. But if you go to a farm, like I was raised on farms and I had sheep on the farm in New Jersey, if you put your hands into their wool, you'll notice it feels just like sticking it into a great big bale of cotton, okay? So sheep's wool is very, very soft because of the oils and everything that's naturally in it. So if you took their, if you shear the sheep, which you have to do at least once a year, you shear that sheep and you turn it into thread, and you take that thread and you make garments out of it, it's going to be every bit as soft as cotton. So that was a good point you brought up. A lot of people, including myself, until I got into natural living, I thought that's the way wool always was. So when I read history books about the kings and princes in the old Middle Ages and castles and all, they all wore these woolen night clothes, and the knights wore woolen garments under their mail and their armor, I thought, my God, that had to have been an itchy experience. Can you imagine fighting a battle and sweating and you just got this itchy wool over you? And then years later, I found out that that's just not true. Sheep's wool is extremely soft, so... And I haven't looked into it yet, but when sheep get older, that's when you would go ahead and butcher them, because they're going to perish anyway. So I have not looked into whether their hides are good for clothing, like deer skin is and things like that. Deer hides are extremely good to make clothing out of, very soft, if it's treated right, like our ancestors did that lived here in North America. They had ways of treating the buckskin to make it extremely soft. Some of the ways they did it, I'm not so sure I'd want to do it, but the point of it is there's ways of doing it without chemicals and make it very soft. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
One thing else I was thinking of, since we're on the subject of things they did back then, more so with clothing, but what I know for me, one thing I was thinking of, is maybe because I'm older and I just don't like dealing with shit I shouldn't have to deal with, is to me anymore, I don't see the need for carpets. Hardwood and tile is much easier to clean. If you spill anything, you don't have to worry about it rotting and getting into the wood. Now, I don't mind carpets when I'm walking around without my socks on, but again, as long as the floor is clean, probably not an issue. Now, rugs, we always used to have rugs for certain areas of a house. It's just, for me, practically speaking, I'm seeing less and less of a reason for carpets in every single room.
Amen. You're 100% right. Artificial fabrics and the artificial materials, like in modern-day manufactured homes, trailers, and even in stick-built houses, is very, very bad for you. They used to talk about that at the naturopathic schools that I went to. So you're right. The only thing that we should be using for flooring is wood planking or tile. If you want something soft, then you get an area rug that's made of some natural material and use the rug that way. That's what we should be doing. Everything should be natural. I noticed in the chat room here some people said some things, and I used to think the same way, but I'm going to tell you what my neighbor and I were doing some research online, and we were using some of the artificial intelligence for this as a double check. We actually found out that sheep are easier to raise than goats. Now, I've been on farms with both, and here's the reason for that. Goats are extremely temperamental. Goats will buck you. Sheep will do it once in a while, but goats are very temperamental. Goats can climb. Sheep can't climb. Goats, especially when the male goats are in their rut, they stink to high heaven. Okay? And goats tend to eat almost anything. I had a friend of mine, I went to visit him up in Pennsylvania on his farm, and his goat, while we were talking, got into a can of nails that he had put up on his shelf. He had knocked it over and had eaten some of the nails. And so he had to butcher the goat right then and there because it was going to puncture its insides and die anyway. So, again, sheep don't do that. Sheep only eat grass. Goats eat practically anything. So again, they cost less than sheep. They're not as, they cost less than goats. They're not as temperamental as goats. They don't climb and they don't eat foreign materials that could kill them. Whereas a goat will do that. Now, where goats do excel, goat milk is extremely good, but so is sheep's milk, extremely good. Goats are good for clearing land. So if you're a homesteader and you want an animal that'll go out and clear all the brush from an area, just chain some goats out there and they'll clear it for you. They'll eat everything right down to the grass level in no time at all. Little trees, bushes, plants, it'll be gone. So they're great for that. But so that's a misnomer that goats are cheaper and easier. That's not necessarily true. It also has a lot to do with which breed of these different animals. Like some sheep have hair instead of wool. So you have to be – now some of these are crossbreeds. You don't want a crossbreed. You want purebred animals on your farm, just like you want heirloom seeds for your vegetables and your trees and your fruits. Okay, they should be heirloom, not hybrids, not GMOs. You don't want any of that. Well, same thing goes for animals. If they have done mixing of breeds to create a breed that should not exist, you don't want that on your farm. At least I'm not. I'm not going to put anything artificial on any farm I'm part of. It's going to be the way Yahweh made it, and that's it. Because that's what I found out about vegetables, for instance. Your organic, non-hybrid vegetables, say a tomato. We learned in classes that a natural tomato, you could eat one tomato, but your zombie friends next door that go to Walmart for their tomatoes, they have to eat seven tomatoes to get the same nutrients that you're going to get out of one. Now you know why everybody's walking around like a walking stomach, because they're eating food that's not getting them vitamins and minerals that they need, and so but the calories are there. That tomato is going to have the same number of calories. The same thing is going to be for grains and for carrots and cabbage and lettuce and everything else. If it's not pure, it's not going to be as nutritious. You're going to have to eat more of it. Now, the enemy knew that because they're all about marketing. You're just the consumer to them. So they don't care that your body's not getting it and that you've got to go out and buy seven times what you actually need and you're going to eat seven times because they're going to make more profit. Plus, it's cheaper to grow the hybrid stuff. Okay? Again, everything is upside down. So the answer for everybody is to get right with our Father and do things the way He intended. That's a simple answer. Just get back to the basics, get back to the way it was intended to be. And we don't need any of this man-made stuff. And what we're finding out, and a lot of people are learning, which is good, that's one thing good with all this crap that's going on, is they're learning that we don't need banks. We sure as hell don't need central banks like the Jews run. Okay? Just look what's happening out there, okay? It's making people aware of the fact the stock market's rigged, the banks are rigged, everything is rigged against us by these, I call them monsters in shoe leather. So, okay, Jeremiah, you got your hand up, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, another reason why we don't or shouldn't need banks is once we take out the banks, and get rid of the usury, the interest, our money will skyrocket in value. And all we really have to do is just look back not even 500 years, in which at one time, even a quarter of an ounce of silver was a lot of money. And, you know, so there's a lot of room for value increase of our currency. I mean, what was it? Not even 60 years ago, you could buy things for a few pennies. Now you're lucky if you could buy something for a dollar. So if we get back to actual money, actual silver, most of us who have maybe even just 100 ounces or so stashed, you'll basically instantly be risen up to somewhat wealthy.
True. True. And again, greed has been the downfall of the white race. That's one of our downfalls anyway. We've become extremely greedy people. We're not satisfied with just having the daily needs of life. We just have to have more all the time, and that's gotten us in big, big trouble. So we have to learn to be satisfied with what Yahweh provides. I did notice Ralph put in something in there about eating lamb, baby sheep, because their flesh is much more tender, much like cattle, veal. If you have veal cutlets or whatever, veal comes from a calf. Okay, now, I'm not trying to criticize anybody, because when I was a young man, a veal parmesan was one of my favorite dishes. And then I found out what veal is and how they make veal. They take a calf from the mother and they put it in a pen and they fatten it up. And that poor calf never sees the outside. It never gets any exercise. It's just kept in that pen until it weighs enough that they can get a good price for it, because it's tenderized. Now, again, I was guilty of it as a young man. I've never had veal or lamb in a long, long time now. The reason is because I was reading Scripture, and Scripture talks about the fact that we are not to take the calf or the young one from the mother. We're not to use it for food. There's a reason for that. Okay, first of all, the calf is not developed. Second of all, the mother needs that calf to nurse on it, because that's the natural order of things. Okay, cows and sheep and goats weren't put here to feed us milk. Okay, if we share a little bit of the milk with the lambs and the ewes and things like that, well, that's okay. But that's not their primary purpose like we're doing it now. I got a grandfather that had a dairy cattle, and so I know what that process is like. But you just put that female cow in a position, and you ladies should identify this. What if you got pregnant and your husband came home and milked you every night and you never stopped lactating? Well, that's what you're doing to that cow, and we think that that's okay. Okay, is that a natural thing? No, that is not a natural thing. That cow is no different than humans. It was made to have a calf, have the calf nurse, and then she's to go back to normal until the next time she mates and gets pregnant. There's a cycle there. There's a period of rest and getting back to normal. In the dairy cattle, they are never given a chance to do that. Their whole life, they are milked continually until they're too old, and then they are slaughtered. Okay? We do everything ass backwards today. And the same thing with these young, the veal and the lamb chops. Yes, they are tender. But I grew up on a farm again, and I'm going to tell you, we ate lamb, sheep, and cattle that were older, and there was no problem. It's all in how you prepare it. Okay, so if it's an older cow, an older chicken, or an older lamb, an older goat, it doesn't matter. That flesh, if you prepare it correctly, if you marinate it and do the other things you can do to tenderize it, you're never going to notice the difference. The whole point being, we don't need to do what the Jews got us doing, which is violating the laws of nature and nature's God to satisfy our needs. We got to stop doing that. All right? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I was just going to say is, I could have sworn that there's a verse or scripture in which God specifically tells us that we're not allowed to eat the baby or the young.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what woke me up to it. I was reading scripture one day, and I realized it was talking about veal, the very thing that I enjoyed getting at the restaurant, because I never really gave a thought about where veal came from, because it was covered in spices and breading and cheese, and veal parmesan was one of my favorite things to eat, until one day when I came to know my identity, one of my brothers said to me, he goes, "You're eating veal." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "You know, you're not supposed to do that, right?" And I said, "What?" And then we went to the scriptures, and sure enough, it says that we are not to do that. Okay? Now, it doesn't say specifically veal or lamb or whatever. It says you are not to take the suckling calf or offspring of the animals away from their mothers. Okay? You're just not supposed to do that. And for practical purposes, you shouldn't be taking them when they're young anyway, because you want them to be around to provide, like chickens, you want them to lay eggs. Why would you want to butcher them early just because you think it's a little more tender? No, you don't do that. Same thing with cattle. Same thing with everything. The story about Laban and the other biblical characters that had the huge flocks of cattle. Why were their flocks so much healthier and bigger than the peoples, the non-Israelites that were in the areas around them? The Israelites' cattle, they grew in number and they were healthier. Why? Because we practiced what Yahweh said. They didn't. All right? Today, we act like heathens. We don't honor what Yahweh said to do to the animal and plant world. We don't do that in the name of making money or because of personal, quote, desires or whatever. Okay? So, again, we're not supposed to do that. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. And we are way, way over into the wrong side of things. Everything, practically. I said this many years ago when I started the radio show. I wish somebody could tell me what part of the Bible we're not violating. I have yet to have anybody ever answer that. I said, because every time I read it, it's discouraging to know that our people violate virtually every commandment, statute, regulation, suggestion that our Creator Father gave us. We violate them all, almost on a daily basis, and we've come to believe that that's okay. I don't understand that. Why is it okay? So each of us as individuals have to make a decision that we're not going to violate His laws. Again, that's why I gave up pork. When I found out pork was unclean, I gave up pork. I gave up shellfish. A lot of shellfish I didn't eat anyway. I thought it was disgusting. Snails and clams and ugh, all that's oysters. Ugh. I never ate them ever because I thought they were disgusting. But I did eat shrimp. But not now. And same thing, I ate pork. some pork. We didn't live on pork because we had cattle, but we did eat some pork. And as soon as I found that out, I gave it all up. But on an individual basis, we can be obeying the Father's law. And the blessing for that is you generally have better health. You have better mental health, that's for sure, because you know you're doing things right. But you also have better physical health. A lot of the ailments we have today are because we're eating the wrong things. We're putting things in our body that were not meant to go there. Our body does not digest a lot of these things very well, including milk, by the way. We drink way too much milk. Your body, especially for Caucasians, when you get to the age of 40, your body's enzymes and the ability to break down lactose diminish rapidly. That's why so many people over the age of 40 have lactose intolerance. You might be able to digest it when you're younger, but when you get older, you're probably not going to be able to digest it very well at all. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Regarding the lactose intolerance, because I know at least a decent number of people and other servers, they have this idea, and I don't know where it comes from, but they have this idea or belief that Europeans, Israelites, that we are able to digest milk because that's what our ancestors drank, which is true. But they go a step further, and they get this belief that the only reason you get lactose intolerance is if you're Jewish or have Jewish blood, or if you are mixed in some other way, and that if you're pure European, you're not possible or able to get lactose intolerance. To which I would argue, from my research and from my years of studying allergies, food allergies, gut health, that's one of my specialties, anyone can get lactose intolerance. The only difference is in a pure-blooded white person, it's not true lactose intolerance. Usually, when we develop what we are told is an allergy to milk or, quote, lactose intolerance, by the medical establishment, they never look into seeing what life you were living growing up. And in my research, I found at least 98% of the time in anyone who is white who has lactose intolerance at a young age or older, 98% of the time, that person did not get a full 2 years of mother's milk. They usually were weaned off after a few months, or they got maybe 6 to 7 months, but they did not get much beyond that. And what happens there is when you're cut off from the mother's milk, and in today's world, let's face it, big pharma and big medical basically gets mothers scared to death. But they tell them, oh my God, don't breastfeed. That's the worst thing you can do. Eat the formula. It's safer and healthier, blah, blah, blah. Well, the problem there is the mother's milk, when you first start ingesting it, it is mainly colostrum. So the first helping the mother's milk is going to be pretty yellowish in color because it's high concentration of colostrum. And the colostrum there is highly important to not only preventing all perceived allergies, because whether it's gluten or lactose, there is no such thing as a food allergy. Because what happens is you need the colostrum from the mother's milk. That's going to act like a glue through your entire GI tract. Then, after the colostrum is done, that's when the breast milk starts to turn white because it starts to become mainly good bacteria and the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals from the cow. Well, that bacteria will stick to the colostrum that's already coated your GI tract and start to grow, forming a very strong, healthy mucosal lining.
that mucosa line is the actual organ, if you will, that makes you be able to digest lactose and gluten. And the reason lactose and gluten are the two food molecules that we get quote allergies to, which are actually fake allergies, is because those two types of molecules are highly complex. They're actually the most complex molecules in the food world. Meaning, if your mucosa lining, your GI tract, is not working optimal, your body's not going to know how to digest it. It's actually going to forget, if you will, how to digest those molecules, which will cause symptoms. And we call those symptoms allergies when it's not really an allergy. All it is a miscommunication between the mucosa lining and your digestive organs and telling it how to digest those molecules. And you can easily get rid of lactose intolerance or gluten intolerance, which I have, by simply regrowing the mucosa lining and repairing the gut. Now, as you said, in older age, you naturally get a form of lactose intolerance. And to easily combat that is you can just take raw milk, add in some kefir grains, and turn it into kefir, and you will never have any issues drinking that, because kefir is natural, 99% lactose free.
Yep, very good. You're right. And I know you've lived what you were talking about, so that's not speculation on your part. It's also not speculation on my part, because about the age of 28 to 30 years old, I started developing the inability to digest dairy products. And then as I became a naturopath, I found out it's because they pasteurize the stuff and they kill the good enzymes that are in it. That's part of the problem. The mucosal lining breaks down because we were not raised as babies the right way. I mean, we're doing everything wrong. I mean, think about it. You know, having babies in a hospital, that's a mistake. We don't do that right. We don't, you know, our children are coming into the world completely the opposite of the way they're supposed to. We don't treat the infants the right way. We mutilate the infants. We take them off mom's milk. I mean, it's amazing we're even still here, to be quite honest. I'm amazed that we're even still here. We're so stupid. We're so ignorant. And we do everything so wrong. It's a testament to the strength of the body that Yahweh created that we're even here. I mean, think about it. If I built a car and I gave you a manual on how to run it, and it's a gas engine and you're putting diesel in it and your tires are supposed to have 38 pounds in them and you're running them with 12 and you're trying to tell me, well, I'm not running down the road very well. I would sit there and laugh my ass off at you because it's like, dude, I told you what to put in the tank. I told you how much air to put in the tires. Of course your car's not running right. What the hell's wrong with you? Okay, but when it comes to the human body, we think, I can do whatever I want. It tastes good. Well, it tastes good because of the chemicals and the dyes and the aborted baby material. But hey, but still, it tastes good. I want to eat it. I don't want anybody to tell me I can't have it. I've had people tell me that. I've had people turn against the identity message because of the food laws. I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to eat. I said, well, then don't bitch to me when you're in the hospital and they're ripping your stomach apart. Don't ask me to pray for you. Don't ask me to come and hold your hand. And for God's sake, don't you dare ask me to pay for it. That's your stupidity. You can eat any damn thing you want. I don't care. But just don't ask me to make up for your mistakes. I learned the hard way. I made mistakes. I admit it. Jeremiah's been through it. That's one reason Jeremiah's such a good researcher, because he's been through it. Okay? He's done it. He's lived it. He's learned it the hard way. The school of hard knocks is what my dad used to say. Same thing with scripture, okay? Whether you're talking natural health or scripture, the truth matters. And the truth is not going to be dismissed. You're not going to be able to go out there and disprove it, because the truth will always be the truth. It will bring good results. just like I've cleaned up my eating habits. Jeremiah's cleaned up his. He's got his intestinal lining back to near perfection, and it didn't start out that way because of various things, but he got with Dr. Snow and other people, and he figured it out, and he had enough willpower to do it. He did the right things, and he was blessed that now he's turned the clock back to where his intestines are the way they should have been from day one. And if they had been that way from day one, he wouldn't have been in so many of the troubling situations and hospital visits that he had as a young man. Okay? But praise Yahweh, he's still here. So now he can speak with authority when he's a health coach telling people what things they should and should not be doing to have optimum health. So again, all things work to good for those that love the Father and are called according to his purpose. Nowhere in Scripture does it say our life is to be perfection. From the day we're born till the day we die, it's going to be an easy road. It's going to be perfect. You're never going to have any pitfalls. That's not what he said. What he said was, if you have faith in me, though you have bumps in the road, I'm going to be there with you, just like right now. A lot of people are scared. I get a lot of phone calls. People are, you know, what are they going to do in the New World Order, the banking system, blah, blah, blah. Fear, 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 fear. I just keep reminding everybody, okay? Have faith in your Father. All things work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to his purpose, because that's really why we're here. For his purposes, not our purposes, his purposes. So if you're on his good side and you're doing his work, I don't think you have much to worry about. Jeremiah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to add a few things. the one verse that comes to mind when you're talking about truth is, now the word truth isn't in it, but you could pretty much put it there, and that is one thing that God does prophesy, is that, you know, my people suffer due to lack of knowledge. Well, you can just take out knowledge and put in, you know, my people suffer due to lack of truth. Because what is truth but knowledge, right? And with that, I'll also add that one thing that I personally discovered, and I'm sure it's true about almost everything, is that everything is, you know, backwards these days, from disease to health, to what works, to what doesn't, to how easy it is to turn the body around by just doing one or two simple things. You can turn the body almost completely around. You won't get the perfect health, but with how sickly most people are, they don't even need perfect health, and they can guarantee themselves an extra 10 years just by doing two simple things. But one thing I did want to add is about my past and the trials that I went through to get to where I am today. You know, because a buddy of mine was asking me about that, because they kind of know somewhat of my history, and they said, you know, well, if you were so close to God when you were younger, and you constantly talked to him as if he was literally there in the room with you, why did he let you go through the hell that you went through? And with what I know now, I looked at him, and I said, well, probably because I effed up in my past life, and I had to suffer for it. I had to get punished some way or another. So the last thing I'm going to do is blame God for why I even had to go through this way. I don't know why I went through it, but I went through it for a reason. And the only thing I can assume is I probably effed up somewhere along the way in my past life.
Yep, that gets into an interesting discussion, which we're not going to have enough time to talk about here tonight. I know my own father was looking into it before he passed over. And I've looked into some books like the Journey of Souls and The Destiny of Souls. Very interesting, but that's also an area where we don't need to agree completely. We don't have to be in lockstep. Just like the some of these other issues, okay? If we're not in lockstep, we're not in lockstep. Doesn't change who we are, doesn't change who the enemy is, doesn't change what we have to do to win this war, okay? Just means that we're going to be a little bit of a difference of opinion, okay? Get over it, all right? Get over it. We're in a war. So,
for me, what brought me to start believing in the I call it the recycling of soul because of the bad connotation, quote, reincarnation has with it. Because when I was younger, I thought it was 100% satanic because Hindus believe in reincarnation and blah, blah, blah. But when I start to realize exactly what the earth looks like and that there is no heaven as Hollywood creates, then it makes a lot more sense that our soul gets, quote, reused or recycled, because there is no heaven that you go and party after you die, and there is no hell where God's going to torture you for all eternity because you messed up for 5 minutes of his time. And, you know, that always never sat well with me growing up. It's like, okay, so if I mess up in this life, it's only like 5 minutes of God's time, why would he torture me for all eternity? That does not sound right.
Yeah, good points. And again, we're not going to have enough time to get it. That's another deep, deep subject there. But even the scriptures talk about the fact that, you know, our spirit is forever. Okay, we're spiritual beings having an earthly human experience. We have to remember that. We came from the other side here, and we're going to go back to the other side when we leave here. That's a fact. Our ancient ancestors believed that. That's what made them such strong warriors. Okay, the Romans were terrified fighting the Britons because the ancient Britons did not believe that their dying was the end of it. They just went on back to the other side. And so to have honor when they went back to the other side, they were to be brave in battle. So the ancient Britons were terrifying to the Romans, because they fought with such ferocity and such a lack of fear. Okay, so now ask yourself, who would benefit from instilling fear and a fearful doctrine in our people? Okay, who was running the Romans? Who are the Romans today? In the form of the Roman Catholic Church, in league with the synagogue of Satan. Okay, who benefits from us having that fearful outlook on life? They do. They do. That's right. The Edomites and those in league with the Edomites. Okay? So, again, everything that we've been told pretty much is not true by any of the institutions, whether it was education, government, banking, church, science. If it was centralized, if it was mainstream, pretty much everything they told us is a bloody lie. Now, the good news is that we're at the end of the age with the Son of Man, his return supposedly to be very, very soon, because we're in, like, as it was in the days of Noah, we're in it. We're in the tribulation period. We're in it. Okay? So all this is going to come to a climax very, very soon. That's the good news. And we're on the right side of the fence. So we, of all people, have the least to worry about. These other people out here are terrified about everything, but none of us should be terrified about anything, because we're here for a reason. We're listening to each other for a reason. We have a vibration between us as a family for a reason. And we're going to find out what that reason is very soon. Okay, these other people don't. They don't have a purpose in life. They're just kind of stumbling through, thinking that if they make enough money or have enough toys, there's no meaning in that. There is no true happiness in that. Being right with the Creator Father, being right with your brothers and sisters, that is much more satisfying than anything that this world is going to offer us. So we just have to keep that in mind as we go forward. But I can see we're coming up on the hour and a half mark here pretty quick. I do want to remind everybody again, Ella says Revelation 3:12. So I don't have my book in front of me. If somebody's got it, read it for us.
Okay.
I think I know which one it is, but I don't. Be better if somebody had it in front of them. But again, a reminder for Sunday. Sundays will be back to this same format. The only thing is different is I will do the introduction and do my whatever teaching is I'm going to do or whatever my message is going to be. That'll be the first part of it on Sunday morning. And then I'll have open mic after that for questions or comments and things such as that. So that'll be the biggest difference there. And unfortunately, until I figure out how to do it, there won't be any kind of music, but I have something I think might work. So Ella, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Revelation 3:12. It's and him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven and I will write upon him my new name. So that says he will go no more out. That means he doesn't have to go out of New Jerusalem to live another life again. That's what it means to me.
Yeah, good point. And that fits in really well with what Jeremiah was saying and what we're talking about here. Once you are perfected, you know, it goes along with the scripture about the silver. You know, he refines us like silver. Okay, the silversmith applies heat to the dirty silver to drive off the dross. It's called dross, which is the impurities and the contamination in the silver. And that's why it looks tarnished. So you apply the heat to that and it purifies the silver. So heat in scripture is always persecution. Trials and tribulation is what heat is used, the heat that the Father uses for us as his silver. The beautiful part of that story is when the lady said to the silversmith, how does the silversmith know that the silver, or the first question was, how does the silversmith know what's the right amount of heat? And he said, well, it has to be hot enough to clean the silver, but not too hot to where it destroys the silver. There you go. That's us as we walk through this earth. There's trials and tribulations, but not enough to destroy us, just to purify us. Then the question that the lady said, how does the silversmith know the silver's clean? And the silversmith said, that's easy. When I see my reflection in the silver, when Yahweh sees a reflection of him and his values in you, there's no more need for fire, no more need for punishment, no more need for these ankle-biting serpents that walk amongst us in shoe leather. Ella, go ahead. You got your hand up.
Yeah, I know I mentioned Matthew 11:14. But could I read just a couple of verses before that and tells about Elijah?
Sure.
Okay. It says, and from that, this is from verse 12 in Matthew 11. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Which means that if you will receive it, this is Elijah. John the Baptist was Elijah who was to come, as mentioned in Malachi chapter 4.
Right. Right. And people can be in the spirit of Elijah and not be actually Elijah. So.
Right.
Because if you remember right, Elijah's, one of the things Elijah was to do was to bring the family back together, which is what we're attempting to do. Bring us back into fellowship with one another and stop separating us by country and language and doctrine and all this other garbage that we allow to do that. Bring us back together as family. So, yeah, that's reinforcement to the idea that, you know, where you can call it recycled, reincarnated, whatever. The problem with reincarnation using that term is because the people in India and other places of the world, they believe in reincarnation into even animals, and sometimes reincarnation into plants, which is ludicrous. I mean, that is just plain stupid. But that's why it gets a bad rap, because of that. Okay, so again, recycling is probably a better word for it. You get sent back to the beginning of the line, just like when I was in basic training. If you screwed up, they sent you back to the beginning. And I'm going to tell you, nothing more terrifying than to be close to the end of your basic training and a drill instructor tells you that if you screw up one more time, I'm going to send you back to the beginning, meaning you got to go through it all again from day one, just like you're a new recruit. So same thing with the father. I'm going to send you back to the beginning. Anybody else have anything? Got an open mic here.
Yeah, and you know, just to add on to that, and you mentioning about the silver, with one life, you know, let's say it's not cut short, so let's say you live 80 years, you know, God's trying to refine us like a silversmith. Well, I'm pretty sure you ask any silversmith, their job isn't instantly done with one go. They probably got to refine it over and over and over and over again until they get the final product. Now, how is God going to do that when he only has a human span of 80 years to work with? Now, if you have several human spans of him trying to refine you over and over and over again, it kind of makes more sense.
Yeah, well, that's right. The silversmith, the parable of the silversmith was not doesn't talk about how long. It, obviously, it takes longer than just sticking it over the flame and you're done. We used to clean mercury in the power plants, and it took a while to clean mercury. We didn't use flames, but we used actually a gold filter and some other procedures. But so it was very, very similar. And it takes a while to do that. So you're right. That's a good analogy and a good point. But here again, these are great things to discuss between intelligent Israelites, open-minded, being willing to, as it says in the New Testament, accept all things and keep that which is good, which means basically have an open mind, because none of us have every answer. And I'm going to guarantee you, every single person you talk to has changed their mind about something in their lifetime. There was something that they believed wholeheartedly, and come to find out it just wasn't true. Okay, so at any point in time, you can be sitting there as stiff-necked as you want to be, and 5 or 10 years from now, you're going to have to go back and go, oops, okay, oops. I thought I was right, and geez, I broke fellowship with you, I called you nasty names, or I did this, and I was wrong. In the meantime, Father Yahweh's standing there looking at you as you stand in front of his throne. He's going, why did you do that? Why did you not listen to my commandment, which was to maintain the brotherhood, maintain the fellowship? Don't get tied up in all this dogma. That's what the mainstream churches do. They get us bickering and fighting over dogma. Israelites are supposed to be Israelites. We have our DNA and our race in common. We have Yahweh in common. And we have life on this earth in common. How much more do we need? Think about it. How much more do you need to have in common to know that you're part of a family? You're not just floating out here to just be whatever you want to be, willy-nilly, and make up the rules as you go and piss off everybody because you think you're smarter than everybody else. And then 5 years later, you go, oops, oops, I just pissed off all my brothers and sisters up till now, and turns out I was wrong. That's an embarrassing place to be. Trust me, that's an embarrassing place to be. But anyway, closing comments, if anybody's got them, before we are going to close in a short prayer here. Let's see here. I'm looking at the notes real quick. Yep. Yep. A lot of good points. A lot of good points. So nobody has anything. I'm going to go ahead and then say the closing prayer, and then we'll close it down for the night. So if everybody would just go ahead and mute their phones for now. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brethren here and the many, many people that listen to the recording. We just pray that you would help all of us, Father. We're all struggling. We're all nervous, and we all are struggling to be right. We want to be right, especially now. It's so important, especially with so many of our people starting to wake up, and they're starting to realize that we as a people have gone off the path. We have been extremely wrong, and it's time to get back and be right with you and be right with each other. And to turn our backs on this Babylonian world that was created by our enemies. We need your help, Father. We need you to give us strength and courage and good discernment that we can look through and see through all the lies and deception. To that end, be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.